Let's all say amen. Amen. And I think that song, we have to live that. We got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. That tells us that God never lets go of our hand. But we can't allow life to cause us to let go of his hand. Amen. We're going to talk about that this morning. So again, I think as the Bible teaches us, we need to sing in the spirit, but also sing with the understanding. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, shared that with them in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 15. Paul said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So when we sing, we need to be understanding what we sing on this morning. And singing is a part of our worship service. Amen? Yeah, we're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And there are five acts of worship when we worship God. Luke penned that when he wrote the Acts of the Apostles. He said in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and in fellowship, that is offering or giving, sharing with the Lord what the Lord had blessed us with. And in breaking of bread, we communed this morning with the Lord, his body and his blood, and also in prayer. And then Luke penned, praising God, we sing without the assistance of mechanical instruments. Some refer to it as a cappella singing. Yeah. We sing, we talked about that before, with the voices the Lord has given us. We sing to the Lord. We don't add nothing to it. No, we don't need no boom, boom. And we sing to the Lord. Yeah, and sometimes even in the Lord's church, we've gotten away from doing things that pleases God. Sometimes we're not careful. We're trying to please man instead of pleasing God. And then Luke said, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I want to say to anyone that's visiting this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to understand clearly, I want to do what the scripture says. I want you to be added to the church. Amen. By the Lord. The only way we are added by the Lord, we follow the instruction that the Lord has given to make a person Christian. No one is a child of God until they obey the Lord. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, you have to be born again. You've been born physically, but you now have to be born spiritually, understanding what the Lord teaches. Amen? Amen. Yeah, so we want to stay with the scriptures. And I like to start off that again to put us in the proper mindset that we are here to worship God. Yes. Yeah, it's not about us. It's about God and us doing those things. And my responsibility falls in 2:42, where I'm going to share with you the apostles' teaching. The word of God is what causes our life to change. Yeah, it's the word of God. And my responsibility before you is to do that. Amen? Yes, sir. So on this morning, we're continuing in Paul's letter to Timothy. And again, this letter is an older preacher writing to a younger preacher. Yeah, those things that he was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we want to speak from the subject. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul closes what is referred to as chapter 3 with that statement. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we want to understand that on this morning. Amen? And we want to make the application to what God said. What does God mean when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable? Yeah, we'll look at that this morning. Amen? We're picking up at verse number 10. We finished in verse number 9 on last Sunday, Lord said the same. So we're in verse 10. Paul says and writes, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience. Paul shared with Timothy, you've been with me. He said, you know, doctrine is, you know my teaching. Paul said, also, you know my way of life. Paul told him, you know my purpose. The word purpose means is to set forth. In other words, all of us ought to have our goals in life, and our ultimate purpose is to make heaven our home.
Amen.
Paul said, also, my faith. You know I believe in God.
Yes,
you know that. I'm old now. I believe in God. I'm going to bring that point back up again at the close. Paul said, my long suffering. Long suffering here means able to remain calm and not become angry when waiting a long time. Yeah, that word means long tempered. So Paul said, you saw how I had to, when I had to wait on stuff a long time, Paul said, I remained calm. And I'm saying to Christians, sometimes when we want God to do things, sometimes we got to wait. You got to wait on God.
Yes, sir.
You got to wait. Paul exercised long suffering. Then he said charity. Charity is being concerned about the well-being of other folk. Yeah. You love people, you gotta show concern for them.
That's right.
Yeah, how you say you love me and now you don't show me no concern? And Paul said patience. That's the ability to deal with difficult situations. There are gonna be some difficult times in this life. Amen.
Yes,
we experience some life. And Paul said, I exercise patience. So the Apostle Paul was letting Timothy know, I was a role model for you. Yeah. We need some of our seniors to be role models for our young people. Paul, when he talked in the Titus letter, that the older women teach the younger women, we need to be role models for people.
Amen.
It's my responsibility. I've said that before, and I stand on it. I'm human, too. I'm fallible. I make mistakes. But what I'm trying to show as the leader's congregation, show consistency in my walk. Be a role model for the congregation, not just male and female. And the role model has to do with all those characteristics Paul talked about. Then he said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What said? What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul talked about persecution. By definition, is to be harassed in a way designed to cause you grief. Sometimes even people will do things to you to cause you grief. People would do that. We're going to see an example. Paul talked about affliction. That's pain that is caused by injury, whether it be physical, mental, or emotional. Sometimes the greatest pain some experience now is when you're in a relationship and you experience emotional pain. Because them scars stay there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, long after it's over, there are scars. And sometimes we can cause scars to people emotionally, and they stay there.
That's right.
Paul said, but I endure it. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just have to deal with difficult stuff. Paul said, the Lord delivered me. Let me say this to all of us. The Lord can deliver or rescue you out of any difficulty in life. Yeah, you got to have faith. You got to trust in the Lord. Let me give you an example. Paul talked about that. I want you to see what Paul was taught. Sometimes we read scriptures, and when we think about Christ being on the cross, we just, yeah, did Christ die on the cross. But sometimes you need to read and see what happened to Paul in this case. In Acts chapter 14, the Bible says, "And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, which persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Paul now talks about afflictions here. Paul said they stoned, people got stones. And they just threw them at him. And the Bible says they beat him up so bad, they thought he was dead. And they drug him out of the city. Yeah. The Apostle Paul was left for dead. Yeah. Yeah. Just think about this. Paul talked to Timothy. Timothy saw this. So sometimes people will follow you when they don't care for you and try to cause you harm. Even in the church. Yeah. Now watch Paul. Paul said, "How be it? As the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Yeah. The Bible says, while those other Christians was watching him, Paul got up and went on. And I'm saying to us, sometimes you must pick yourself up and get on with life. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta pick yourself up.
Yes.
Even when others leave you for dead.
There you go.
Thinking you ain't gonna amount to nothing. And they thought they done killed you.
Yeah.
Mentally. You gotta pick yourself up.
Pick yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they done hurt me. They didn't cause me injury, but I'm gonna pick myself up.
Amen.
I'm gonna rose up. Yeah, with the help of God.
There you go.
Yeah, with God's help. So Paul, when he talked to Timothy, I want us to see, because see, we just see the word persecution and affliction. Just think about you standing there and men got stones, and all you can do is try to cover yourself up the best you can. And them rocks are hitting you to the point they hit you so much they thought you was dead. And they just get you and drag you out, leaving you for dead. But you got to have something in you that's going to pick you, you're going to get up. I'm not going to stay down. I'm not going to allow life to keep me down.
Amen.
I'm not going to allow my circumstances to keep me down.
That's it.
I'm not going to let my situation in life keep me down.
Get up.
Even though it looks like I ought to just give up.
Don't. Don't give up.
I'm going to get up.
There you go.
I'm gonna get up with the help of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's what Paul said. And out of this all, the Lord delivered me. Sometimes you put your trust in friends. Friends sometimes will,
all right.
Stop being friendly.
Yes, sir.
And it seems like sometimes the ones you trust the most are the ones that seem like they'll turn their back on you.
Yes, sir.
Especially when they don't see it in your, it's gonna be in your favor. If they see you going down, they will sometimes move back and let you fall.
Lord, that's it.
That's why Paul told Timothy, the Lord, don't ever think that the Lord can't deliver you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. His eyes, Peter said, are over the righteous, 1 Peter 3:12. Yeah. And his ears are open
to their prayer.
That's right. And Paul told Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly, all, not some, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Anyone that is truly faithful to God will face opposition in and out of the church. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to, I teach this at my job. I share with our staff when I do training. And I bring it to us. I think it's a good principle. How should the Christian handle this? When people are persecuting you, I share this at my job. Bring it here. Three things. Number one, stay calm. Yeah. They say don't ever let them see you sweat. Stay calm.
Stay calm.
Yeah. Number two, be aware. And that's for your own safety. Make sure you know what's going on around you. Be aware. And number three, remain respectful. No matter how somebody treats you, you are a Christian.
That's it. That's right.
You are to always remain respectful.
Right.
Whenever you stop doing that, now you are not conducting or behaving yourself as God will be pleased with.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why Paul, he wrote in the first letter, he said that you ought to behave. He said, if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself. There's a certain behavior that Christians ought to have.
Amen.
You can't just do what you want to do. You're a Christian. People going to persecute you. Paul said, if you live in godly, expect people not to side with you. And that's in the church and outside. Yeah. He told him why. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The word evil here means sometimes people are just morally bad. Yeah. Some people just bad, morally. They'll do you wrong, they don't care about it, they'll lie on you, they'll say stuff that's not true, they'll try to hurt you. Some understand this, Paul said, evil men and those that seduce others shall wax worse and worse. They're going to deceive. That's when I'm deceived, I'm being led away by from that which is right. Yeah. And notice what Paul said to Timothy. When a person starts going backwards, they may get worse and worse. Why? Because they're going backwards. Yeah. Sometimes people start doing bad and start going bad, and you just see them. That's what the scripture says. They should, the word wax means grow. Worse and worse. And then Paul now, after he told Timothy all those things about what he went through and how people are, note what he goes back to in the next verse. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he told Paul, he told Timothy, what you do is you continue in the things you have been taught. Timothy had been taught by his mother and his grandmother, as well as the Apostle Paul. Yeah, Paul, look, turn your Bible. Let me show you that. But this is gonna be something here. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Use your Bibles. Verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5.
But I call to remember.
Yeah. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, when I call to remembrance, when I think about the unfeigned faith
that is in thee
which dwelt first in thy grandmother,
Lois.
That's important, and thy mother, Eunice. I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul told him, I want you to continue in your teaching. Your grandmother taught your mother, and your mother taught you.
Mm.
He said, continue in the things that thou hast learned. Then he told him, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, the word wise in the text means having knowledge from learning and experiencing things. Yeah, sometimes not only we have to be taught, but we have to experience things. Paul told him, because the Holy Scriptures that Timothy had at that time was the Old Testament. Yeah. Mm. New Testament hadn't been complete then.
Right.
But he shared with him that in the Old Testament, they are able to make you wise unto salvation. So that means the Old Testament taught salvation through the Messiah, and that's Jesus. The New Testament teaches Christ is that Messiah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn your Bibles, Acts 26. Show you that in the Bible. Acts chapter 26, verse number 22. Yeah, use our Bibles and then we're going to. Yeah. Know what the Bible says in Acts 26 and 22. Luke wrote, having therefore obtained help of God. There we go again. Paul said, again, notice in verse 21, he said, those Jews tried to catch me in the temple. They wanted to kill me. Mm. Well, Paul said, having therefore obtained help of God. God is always on time. He said, I continued until this day, witnessing both to small and to great.
Right.
That's an understanding. Those that know a lot, those that know a little. Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That's the Old Testament. Paul said, I taught those people what the prophets and what Moses wrote, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So Paul showed them through the Old Testament that Christ was going to come, Christ was going to suffer, Christ is that Messiah that would raise from the dead.
Amen.
Yeah, that's why Paul said that Old Testament can make you wise unto salvation through faith that you have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And then Paul said something important this morning. I want to share this with us this morning. Go back there. That's verse 15? Oh, yeah. That's it. That's it. That's where I want to be, right there.
There you go.
I want to talk this morning to parents and also to grandparents, because we have to raise children too. Yeah, you have to raise children too nowadays. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to help out your son, your daughter with their own children.
Yep.
Yeah, it happened. That's just life.
Amen.
Yeah, and if you are a grandparent and you love your grandchildren, the last thing you want to see is them not being cared for.
Amen.
Yeah, it hurts you to your heart. Yeah. You have these children, you're not doing right by them. Well, I want to share with us. The Bible says, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. And I wanted to show you 2 Timothy 1:5 because it shows you that Sister Lois and then Sister Eunice, they all followed this Old Testament pattern. How is a child to learn? Good question. Good question. Good question. Yeah. How do we teach our children today? You stay with what the Bible teaches. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Solomon wrote, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from
it.
Yeah. Yes. I want to say sometimes we miss that. Yeah. Mm. We miss it. Yeah. We're going to get it right this morning. Now, the Old Testament was written in the what language? Anybody? Somebody say it. Hebrew. Go ahead and say it. Yeah. And the New Testament is written in the Greek. So now, to understand what the word train means, we got to understand what the word meant in the Hebrew.
Hebrew language.
Yeah. The word train in the Hebrew, that's the Hebrew word, C-H-A-N-I-K. I'm not going to try to spell it. I can write it. But what the Lord was saying, the word train means to put in the mouth. Mm. Yeah. You know how you see birds? When they feed their little ones, they put it in their
mouth.
Yeah. The Lord said through Solomon, that in training up a child, you got to put in their mouth. And that means to gradually impart principles to be formed into their character.
There you go.
It's the parents' responsibility.
That's right.
To put it in their mouth. Yeah. Parent responsibility. Well, let me share something with you, with all of us. Sometimes, as a parent, we look at our children that we raised up, and if we're not careful, we'll think we failed in rearing them.
Mm. That's right.
Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
But understand this. Anytime you put something in someone's mouth, doesn't mean they're going to swallow it. Yeah. Sometimes you can put something in their mouth and they spit it out. You know, sometimes you tell the children, I didn't raise you that way.
Uh-huh.
What they did, they spit it. Yeah. So Solomon said, it's the parents' responsibility to put it in their mouth. Yeah. You have birds sometimes. Sometimes you see them where they're sort of, the mother bird fly in. They got the food. And them little birds, they got their mouth open.
Mm-hmm.
They waiting for them to put it in their
mouth.
Yeah. But see, we see where Timothy, grandmother Lois put it in her daughter's mouth.
Right.
Her daughter put it in his mouth. And Timothy not only had those principles, Timothy not only became a Christian, he became a Church of Christ preacher.
Amen.
Yeah. So now, in that text, let me go back to it. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. Yeah. Now, what Solomon was teaching here is you train up a child according to the attitude, the mood, and the behavior of that individual child. Yeah, you can't, sometimes you can't all the same. You got to understand when you're raising your children. When you may see one of them slower than the other one. You can't act, you're not doing proper to try to make the child that's slower keep up with the child that's faster. The Lord said that you deal with each child's temperament and their temperament is to be closely considered and the teaching is to be adapted to the child's need. Sometimes children ain't as fast as other children. Yeah, even in school now, they have what is called adaptive learning. Yeah, what is that, brother? The adaptive learning is a technique to use data-driven instructions to adjust and tailor learning experience to meet the individual needs of each student, in this case, each child. So we got to raise our children. When we see our children differently, we have to adapt our bringing them up.
That's right.
Yeah. Sometimes you have some children, you can tell them, girl, I'm a, and they just start, you ain't got to do nothing else. There's other children, you can whoop them with a 2x4.
Oh.
And they still gonna do what they want to do. Yeah. So you know when I deal with you, sister, bring me that 2x4.
There you go. That's it.
I got the one that won't, yeah. Yeah, I got this one I got to deal with. So you got to, the Lord teaching this. We have to learn as parents to adapt our teaching to the student. Everybody's not the same. They don't grow the same. This is what Solomon penned through, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Train up a child based on that child.
That's right.
And then Solomon said, and when
he is old,
he will not depart from it. I think, man, we missed this. Yeah. Some of us think when he said when he is old, he's saying when he is grown. That's not what he said. He said when he is
old.
Yeah. Watch this.
When he's old is two different things.
Solomon is dealing with the fruits of training in someone's old age. An individual trained properly in the principles of truth and has lived accordingly until they reach an old age will not abandon what has become second nature to them. What the Lord is saying through Solomon is that if you've been brought up and you've been doing something all your life, it's second nature to you. You're not going to depart it. That's the teaching. You know, sometimes we see some of our senior, and they've been this way all their life. You've been coming to worship all your life. Now all of a sudden you get old, you're going to start coming to worship. It generally won't happen. So Solomon was saying, and when the person becomes old, he will not depart from the teaching that he got when he was young. Yeah. He's not talking about when he is grown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if you got a child and they done left the Lord and you trying to get them back, they done left the Lord. Solomon was talking about somebody who all their life they've been consistent in doing right, living right, they're not gonna just change.
That's right.
Look at Paul. That's an example. Paul was an old man now. Paul not finna go back to Judaism. Yeah, that's what Solomon said. And when he is old, he will not depart from his teaching. Why? It's second nature. Paul is a Church of Christ preacher.
Yeah.
He's been living that.
Yeah.
He's been living the foundation from the Old Testament. Then when Christianity came, Paul not going to turn back.
He ain't going to turn back. That's right.
That's the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
When he is old, he will not depart from his teaching. Why? It's second nature to him. And then Paul says, that's my title, all scripture is given by inspiration of God,
mm-hmm,
and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul said all scripture. Paul was simply saying all writings from Genesis to Revelations. Paul said the word inspiration means they were divinely influenced.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, men wrote as the Holy Spirit led them. Peter said that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy men of God wrote as the Holy Ghost gave them. Yeah, let me read that. 2 Peter chapter 1. Show you where the scripture, Paul says that. Yeah. 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Well, I'll start at verse 20. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So Paul was letting Timothy know, everything you read in the scriptures, they was influenced by God. Then he said it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. The word profitable means helpful or useful. Yeah, all scripture. Now, doctrine is teaching. Teaching shows us what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this now. Doctrine shows us what's right. We go to the scripture and it shows us what's right. Reproof means to convict. It shows what is wrong. We can go to scripture and show something is wrong. Correction, by definition, is to restore to an upright state. Correction shows us how to get right. And instruction is the act or process of teaching obedience. It shows us how to stay right. So the Word of God can show us what is right.
Yes.
The Word of God can show us what is wrong.
Yes.
The Word of God can show us how to get right. The Word of God can show us how to stay right. That's righteousness.
Amen.
There. Paul said that. Timothy, understand this here. And I'm saying this to all of us. Paul said, if you want to know what's right, you want to know what's wrong, you want to know how to get right, you want to know how to stay right, it's in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the scriptures. And then Paul concluded by saying
that the man of God,
that the man of God,
mm-hmm,
may be
the man of God,
mm-hmm,
may be perfect,
thoroughly furnished
unto all good works. Now, the word perfect, definition, it means shaped for a precise or accurate fit. In other words, what the Lord is saying is that the Word of God You know, you go and you get a suit. I'll use men, our sisters, and the person tailor the suit to fit you. Mm-hmm. What the Lord is saying, that the word of God, Paul said, is tailored to fit everybody. He said, thoroughly furnished. The word furnished means to be supplied completely. So what the Lord, what Paul was telling Timothy, understand this, the word of God, God has given us everything. Watch this. The scriptures allow a person to be fully matured in life and thoroughly equipped in work.
Amen.
The word of God can do that. Yeah. The word of God can make sure that I'm mature in life and dealing with life, but also, Paul said, you are furnished unto all good works. Now I'm going to close on this. The word of God can fit anyone who is willing to obey it.
Amen.
Yeah. Our responsibility is when we're taught the word of God to make application to the word of God.
That's right.
To make application. Timothy was raised by his mother and grandmother. His father, the Bible shows, never showed that he obeyed the Lord. He was a Greek. Amen. However, I'm saying this to all of us. Even if I come up in an adverse situation, that don't mean I can't get the teachings necessary to become a faithful child of God. Hmm. Why? Because Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given by God. It can get you right. It can tell you when you're wrong. It can tell you how to get right. It can tell you how to stay right. That's the word of God. Hmm. So this morning, if you're here, the first thing you got to do is get right. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want you to, before you can be right, you got to get right.
Amen.
And the only way we can get right, as we show in the scripture, you got to listen to the Lord. Jesus gave 5 steps for a person to get right. First step, we show that there is only one God, and God has a mediator between God and man, that's Christ.
There you go.
What you need to know what Christ did for you, he gave himself a ransom for everybody.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. The word ransom means something paid for the release of someone from captivity. In other words, Christ died on the cross for us. And if we're obedient to his teaching, we can become a child of God also.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, a brother said this morning, Jesus died on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we may be made right through obedience. So what do I got to do, Brother Stroud? 5 things. First thing you got to do, Jesus said in Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. So you got to, first of all, you got to hear the word of God.
That's right.
Okay, secondly, I got to believe. He said, this is the work of God, Jesus said, that you believe on him who he sent. You got to believe that God sent Jesus Christ to the earth. You got to believe. You can't go to heaven if you don't believe that.
Hmm.
Okay, I believe it, Brother Stroud. I believe that. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Then he said, I tell you next, except you repent, you shall all like right perish. So what you got to do is, whatever life you've been living, you haven't been living for the Lord. Yeah. So you have to turn to the Lord. That's repentance start when I turn to the Lord.
That's right.
Okay? I'm turning to the Lord. So what does he got to do? Well, you got to make confession. You got to confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said, if you confess me before my Father, I will confess him before, I will confess you before him in heaven. Amen? And then the final act, what you must do, Jesus told him, go into all the world. He told his disciples, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel has three facts: that Jesus Christ died for our sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. Those are the facts of the gospel. You have to believe that. Okay, so what I got to do now? Then you have to be, after you believe it, you got to be water baptized that you can be saved. You are saved from your past sins. Yeah. Now when you you complete your obedience, now you become a Christian. Now you're a child of God. Until then, you're not. Yeah. Bible teaches, as I said earlier, that's how the Lord adds you to the church. Yeah. Those such as should be saved. You're saved once you obey the Lord. You are a Christian. So if there's anyone today that would like to become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, Bible teaches that, and I said just short in the scripture, he says that salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. Our brother said today, he paid for the church with his blood. Yeah. There's someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message. I thank you for your listening here. We bid you to come as our brother come and lead us in a song of invitation. Thank you very much. Please stand if you're able.
One plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me come to thee.